1 John chapter 2. And as you find 1 John, that second chapter, I'm going to remind you of a couple of things. And that is, you remember that in this letter, John is concerned with assurance of salvation. And he's done a couple of things. He's shared these things so that the children of God could have an affirmation of the residual effects and the residing of, if you will, the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And he's done this through evidences, through markers in true Christian faith. And he says, if this is in your life, he says, look at your heart, look at your life, look at the way you're living, look at the way you worship, look at what you believe. And if these things match up with what he said, I'm telling you, then you know that you know the Lord Jesus. He gave us in that first and second chapter there, he gave us a moral test. He said, are we living in obedience to Christ's commands? Do you remember that? He said, if you are a Christian, if you love the Lord, you're going to love the Word of God and you're going to love being obedient. Do we love God's Word? And are we obedient to it because we love God? Then he gave us the fellowship test. And that fellowship test was not, can we just get along with God, but can we get along with each other? Look to the person sitting next to you and say, we get along. Was there a conflict there? If there was, would you please schedule counseling? If the person looked at you and says, we do? Folks, we need to make sure that as God's people that we are living and loving in forgiveness and in the love of God. And all God's people said, amen. So the fellowship test, do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we have unity with fellow Christians? And now here through the rest of this little chapter that we're going to be reading, and then through the rest of the book of 1 John, we come to a third test, and that third test is the doctrinal test. He says, here's the test of true doctrine. If you know God and have fellowship with God, you're going to understand some very specific things. So we're going to read some in just a moment there. But for John, the key doctrinal issue in the Christian life is Jesus Christ. He is the key doctrinal issue. If you get Jesus wrong, you've got everything else wrong. And that's what he's trying to say here. Do we believe in Jesus? And do we believe, and who do we believe that he is? Do we believe and fully embrace what the Bible teaches, what the Old Testament taught? John was trying to tell them, look, he said, we have these scriptures, these prophecies of who the Christ is and will be throughout the Old Testament. And then we have the word of John who lived with Jesus, who served with Jesus. And so we ask, do we believe and fully embrace what the Bible teaches about him? Here's the question. Nathan asked it a little bit earlier. Do we love the biblical Jesus, or do we only love the Jesus of our own invention? The Jesus that we make up. And John is very concerned here that our beliefs about Jesus Christ be doctrinally sound. That our beliefs about Jesus Christ be correctly derived from what? God's holy word. And he gives us some biblical tools here. He gives us, if you will, a spiritual stethoscope. Right here in the Word, he gives us a spiritual stethoscope to put to our hearts and to put to our beliefs to say, here, check out your heartbeat theologically to see if your heart is in good shape. And these exact same tools that we're going to be looking at are also good to identify false teachers, because even if we believe them, if we're listening to people who are teaching false teaching, then we're going to be thrown off and we can discern who is teaching right and who is teaching wrong. So let's begin looking at this third test, this theological test, by reading God's Word. Would you stand with me in honor of the Word of our Father? 1 John chapter 2, two short verses, but so much there. Beginning with verse 22. And 23, John says, who is a liar But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now you may be thinking, Pastor, that's pretty well stated and it's pretty simple. What in the world are you going to preach on this morning? We're going to preach on just exactly what it said. We're going to break it down and make sure that you and I understand what God's Word is telling us through John this morning about who Jesus is. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word and all God's people said. Amen. Folks, Father, we are thankful that we've got it, that you have restored it, that you have brought it, that you have saved it to us. Now, Father, that it has hit our ears, would you help us to take it to the deeper step of coming to our hearts and then to the practical steps of living it? We need your help for that, Father. It is in Jesus' name that we ask for your help. And all God's people said, amen. So we have the scripture here. And we see that as we look at these couple of verses that John is wanting us to be careful of those who are denying the biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus. It's very clear from verses 18 through 21 that we covered last week that John was dealing with some false teachers in his church. They were teaching things that were not from God's word from the Old Testament, nor from the mouth of Christ Jesus. And he spoke about those who had left the congregation. Do you remember? He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Do you remember that? They got mad that John was teaching the truth, would stand for the truth, and would not put up with their false teaching, so they left the church. And you know what? Good riddance. Now, if somebody can get their heart right, everybody can get wrong. We can all hear something wrong and say something wrong or get confused. But when we are corrected and we receive the true word of God, our hearts should be to understand and say, you know what? That is what God's word said. I need to push aside what I think and I need to go with what God said. Amen? Listen, we all get confused against the scripture. And if it's not so, let it go. Amen? Amen. So here, there in verse 22 and 23, John indicates why they left. He said, they left, they went out from us, they weren't really of us. And then he tells us why they left. Why? They had beliefs that were divergent from the Bible about who Jesus the Messiah was. They denied that Jesus was the Messiah set forth in Scripture, and they denied that he had come in the flesh, that he was indeed God incarnate. They were saying some crazy things. So John makes a very plain and bold statement, and he said this. He said, anyone who denies that Jesus is the incarnate Son of God is a liar. It's right there in the scripture. Anyone who says that Jesus was not God in the flesh is a liar. And he says, they are an antichrist teaching false doctrine. Folks, how else can I tell you? Get the word. Hold everything that everybody tells you about Christ Jesus against the word. Go to the Bible. Listen, it's great to be spoon-fed, but I tell you what, it's easy to put arsenic in that spoon if you're not careful. Watch what goes in your mouth. Watch what goes in your heart. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Thus, denying the biblical Jesus is a certain mark of a false teacher. If you find someone teaching anything about Jesus that's not in the Word, they're a false teacher. That is John's doctrinal test here. He's saying, listen, what do you believe about Jesus? He's saying and asking, do you acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ? That Jesus is the Son of God? That Jesus is the Messiah, God in the flesh? And John's point is this. If someone denies the Bible truth, it is certain evidence that they are what? a false teacher, an antichrist. He said, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And dear friends, listen to this. Sooner or later, it is the truth that every false teacher will distort the Bible's teaching about Jesus. They may start very good, and we have example after example after example of people that we bought their books and we listened to their songs and we sang with them about Jesus, and then one day they started twisting things around in their songs, in their music, in their Bible studies. And we just have to be careful that all of a sudden we don't go, oh, well, they were such a good teacher, they must be right about this. Nope, if it's not in here, they're not right. And that's why we hold to what God's Word tells us. What does the Scripture say? Why would any teacher or false teacher deny Jesus? Why would they distort the Word about Jesus? Why is that so important? Why does John nail it down here? And he says, if they say that Jesus is not the Messiah, if they say that Jesus is not the Son of God, they're a liar. Why does John get so specific here? Because Christ is the key. Jesus Christ is the key. So the truth about Christ is Satan's target. Listen, who do you shoot at if you're on the battlefield? The people that are hiding in the back in the ditch? No, who do you shoot at? Those that are running at you, amen? Well, that's who Satan shoots at too. And who is the forerunner of all? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. What gives us the truth to fight for? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is pointed out again a little later in 1 John. See, we're going to skip ahead a little bit. I'll read that to you. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, listen, John said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How many false prophets have gone out? Many. By this you know the Spirit of God. Listen, by this you know the Spirit of God. What? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Why is that so important? Because Jesus paid the price with his body, with his perfection. And he said, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. He's repeating what he said there in the second, what we call the second chapter. That was just his first paragraph, second paragraph. For us, we call it a chapter. Jesus is the key. A false teacher will start subtle. They'll start with the truth, and they'll be very vague. But surely and subtly, they will start to attack the truth. And they'll attack the truth, and it will always come back to Jesus Christ. There are those who will deny that Jesus was fully human. There are those that will deny that he was not the Son of God who took on flesh. They will deny who Jesus was. And John was combating some people who were also saying the exact same thing in that time. You go back and you read the Word and you read all that's there, and you find out that there were some who were saying that Jesus of Nazareth and the Messiah were two different entities. And they were saying that Jesus was just a man from Nazareth, but that the Holy Spirit, or that the Messiah, who was only spirit and not a body, decided to use Jesus for 3 years. And then right before he went to the cross, that the Messiah left Jesus, and that Jesus died on the cross, but that the Messiah did not. Is that what the Old Testament tells us? No. That's not what God tells us. So the understanding is this: they were false teachers. They said that Jesus died on the cross, not the Messiah. And John is saying, no, no, no. Listen, read the Word. It tells us that Jesus was going to come, that his flesh was going to be destroyed for our sin. The Jesus Christ of the Bible, listen, the Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible is God incarnate. God in the flesh. He had two natures. He was fully human and he was fully divine, united in one person. Jesus the Messiah was and is the Son of God. And yet he lived in a flesh and blood body. He was human like us, fully human, and yet fully divine. Do I fully understand that? I don't think quite yet, but I've got some good explanation that might help you if you're struggling with it. We'll come back to that another time so that we don't get out too late today, okay? He was fully human, yet fully divine. He suffered. His body, his humanness suffered. He bled. He died. He was raised again into that same flesh, which is now glorified, and he sits on the right hand of the Father now. And folks, he is coming again to take us home. That is the Jesus of the Bible. That is our Messiah. That is our Jesus. That is the Jesus proclaimed in the gospel of the Lord our God. Now listen, let me just put it very, very plainly. John is saying to the church, wherever you hear any denial of the Bible, wherever you hear any distortion of the Bible's teaching about Jesus, you are listening to the Antichrist. You know, we think the Antichrist is, that's something that's coming later, right? That's something that's coming at the end of days. Listen, he was already there then. What do you think today is? We think the Antichrist is something that's going to happen, you know, right before the end time. Listen, we are in the end times. You remember we said that? That from the time that Jesus came the first time till the time that he comes the second time, that is the end time. That's the age of the church. Any Christian teacher, listen, any teacher that says, well, I'm a Christian or I'm a Baptist, or it doesn't matter what denomination they say they are, if they say that they're a Christian, that they're followers of Christ, they seem to be a part of the visible church, but they do not teach what the Bible says about Jesus, the Bible says quite frankly, quite clearly that they are, he or she is a liar and they are the Antichrist. If you want to say an Antichrist, you may. But the Antichrist is one who is teaching wrong about our God. Now, John is saying this. He says, now, what we believe about Jesus matters very much. Amen? Does it matter just a little? Is it just a small point of our theology? Is it just a small part of our doctrine? He's saying, no, this is what the very heart of what we believe. Our doctrinal affirmation about Jesus are the very core of what it means to be a Christian. That's what he's saying. Listen, those affirmations, those doctrinal beliefs are the difference between an eternity with God or an eternity of condemnation. Those things we believe about Jesus. And not just claiming them, but living them. Here's the thing. Holding to absolute truths is countercultural today, is it not? They say, oh, you can't have an absolute belief. You know, things are changing. Oh, things are changing, all right. This world is telling me and telling you that if you believe that Jesus is the only truth, you're intolerant. And of course, today, tolerance is the only virtue there is. According to today. Tolerance. Because it doesn't matter what you believe, that's fine as long as you believe that. Tolerance. The only thing that they're saying that is wicked and evil is intolerance. So anybody who has a system of absolute beliefs is intolerant. Apparently, intolerance is the only vice. So it's okay to have every other religion except Christianity, because Christianity holds to a truth. That's exactly what Satan and socialism is trying to do to you people. It's what they're trying to do to our children. That's what they're doing to our children. They're literally teaching children to deny absolutes. Did you know that it's written in their manifesto that they want children to come to the place where they can say, snow is black? Why? They want children to look out at snow and be able to say within their heart, that snow is black. Why? They want them to deny absolutely, absolutely understandable truths to say, nope, that's not true. Okay, I wasn't going to go there. They want us to look at people and say, men don't have to be men. You can be a woman. And only women can have babies. Did you know that there's something going on right now? If you haven't seen it, you haven't looked. There's a man who's claiming he's pregnant. And the society and the government will not say he's not, because it is his right to be pregnant if he believes so. Men don't have to be men. Women don't have to be women. Good is evil. Evil is good. Isaiah chapter 5 told us what this is. Let me just read to you Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe be to them. We're going to talk about that woe in just a moment. The socialistic agenda of obliterating absolute truth has one ultimate purpose. Listen to me. The socialistic agenda of obliterating absolute truth has one agenda. It is to start them saying nothing has absolute value. Why? Because it leads to Satan's ultimate teaching that Jesus is not God. That Jesus is not the only way. Because if you can say black is white and white is black and good is bad and bad is good, then Jesus is God. Jesus doesn't have to be. Listen, you better go with the absolute truth that God's word tells you. And that's exactly what the Bible says. That what you believe about Jesus is the difference between heaven and hell. And when we tell them that, you're intolerant. Well, friends, I've got to tell you this. Are we going to lovingly tell them the truth? Or are we going to stand our ground and tell them the truth? Or are we going to lay back and let them die? Listen, I've got a little sign on the back of my desk that says, and I need to make sure I quote it right here. It says, I'm going to come back to it. It's really good. I knew I should have wrote it down. It says, I don't mind offending you into heaven, but I will never love you into hell. I knew I'd get it. See, it's too important to miss there. It might offend somebody for you to tell them the truth, but are you going to love them enough to tell them the truth? John puts it that boldly, that what you believe about Jesus is a difference between heaven and hell. Why? Because of Jesus who is not God's son. Because of Jesus who is not incarnate. A Jesus who doesn't come in the flesh. A Jesus who didn't die on the cross. A Jesus who didn't raise from the dead is incapable of bearing your sins. He is incapable of bringing you into fellowship with God. And so, dear friends, if you do not believe in whom Jesus said he is, you cannot participate in what Jesus said he did. There's an inextricable link between those two things. Thus, it's vital for any Christian to understand what he or she means when they say, Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of the living God who came in the flesh, who was crucified for my sin, who died on that cross, who was buried in a grave. And dear friends, he rose again, ascended to heaven, and he's coming again. All of those things are absolutely essential because if you don't get Jesus right, everything else is wrong. So the Satan and the socialists want you to deny absolute truths. That's what John is saying right here in chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. What you believe about Jesus Christ matters. And once again, a denial of the Bible's teaching about Jesus is therefore a certain mark of false teaching. Let me read it to you again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now I want you to look at this. He says there's a denial of a biblical Jesus, and that denial leads to a spiritual disaster, which means you don't have the Father. If you don't have the biblical Jesus, you don't have the Father. Verse 22 says, whoever denies the Son denies the Heavenly Father. Here's a fun fact for you. If you don't know God, you don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you remember the second part of that? No one comes to the Father but by me. When Jesus says me, he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. And when Jesus says me, one more time, what he means is the Jesus of the Word. Not the Jesus of your own machinations. And Scripture says that to deny him, God's word says it to deny the Father. And verse 23 says that to deny the Son means you don't have the Father. And if somebody says, oh, I have a relationship with God. I love God. I praise God. I believe in God. I follow God. I just don't think that I really believe what the Bible says about that Jesus guy. Listen, if that's the case, you don't know God. And that's what people are saying. Oh, I believe in God. I just don't believe in this in Jesus. Or I don't believe everything the Bible says about Jesus. Listen, you can't have it both ways. John says to confess the Son means to have the Father. Now that doesn't mean when he says confess the Son. That doesn't just mean to say it with your lips. That's not a half-hearted commitment to Christ to say, oh, I'm a member of the club. That's not what he's saying. To confess is not to name it and claim it and then boom, you're a Christian and all of a sudden you've bought fire insurance and so that means that you'll go to heaven. To confess Christ is costly. To confess Christ is very costly. It cost the early Christians greatly. Folks, there were whole groups of early Christians, and we have a special name for them. Do you know what we call them? Martyrs. You know what a martyr is? They were witnesses on this earth in the early church at a time when to confess Jesus, the Son of God, meant for them to sign their own death warrant. Because if they publicly professed Jesus Christ, there was a law out that said all those doing this will be put to death. And they were soaked in tar, skewered on a pole, and used to light the streets of Rome. They were thrown to the lions in their entertainment arena. Their heads were chopped off. They were beaten. They were crucified. They were enslaved. All for one reason. They would not deny Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh. There are still thousands, if not millions, of Christians today that are in the exact same circumstances, especially in the Islamic countries, dear friends. Where literally to confess Jesus as Lord is, again, signing your own death warrant. There are tens of thousands, if not maybe hundreds of thousands, of Sudanese Christians who have been murdered for their faith. Probably the worst place in the world. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Folks, I'm going to tell you that the number of times people have met in this church, and you took every time you and everybody else attended here over the last 16 years, it wouldn't even begin to match the number of people that had died for the cause of Christ because they would not deny their Savior. So the question is this: what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe? Are you willing to die for the truth? Folks, there's a whole new perspective on a profession of faith. Amen? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your God, no matter what it costs you? Are you willing to claim the Jesus that calls you to lay down your life in obedience, not just to die for him, but to live for him as well? On this single absolute truth, everything hinges. And that is this: what the truth of the Bible says about Jesus. So I'm calling you to confession this morning. Well, we live in an easy place to confess, amen? We think it's hard because sometimes we get a little flack at work. And I've known people who've lost their jobs because they wouldn't back down from their stand for Christianity. I've known people. Dear friends, let me ask you. If I call you to a confession, will you? If Christ calls you to a confession, will you? You know, the easiness of this place, the easiness of our country, makes it hard to be a Christian. Because I believe that there's a lot of people who really don't know if they're a Christian or not because they've never had to count the cost. We can fool ourselves into thinking that we're confessing Christ when we're not, because it's so easy. Has God's truth so laid a hold of your heart, so laid a hold of your life that you are willing to die for it? And even harder, are you willing to live for it? Have you come to realize that your only hope in both life and in death is Jesus the Christ, God's Son? Have you come to such a faith that there is nothing in this world that you would deny Jesus for? Not even your life. Or have you come to such a faith that there is nothing in this world that could make you remain silent when somebody is defaming the name of Christ or telling a falsehood to people? I would hope and pray that if I stood in this pulpit and I began to preach a false gospel, that you would arise in a panic and say, "Wrong, preacher, wrong. False prophet, false prophet." Tell me you will. It doesn't matter if it's in this pulpit or if it's in the classrooms. If someone is teaching something that is not of God, you've got to call it out. May God grant us the grace, amen, to truly trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. and not the Jesus of our machinations or imagination, but the Jesus of God's Word. The Jesus as He is wholly and fully offered in the gospel. Will you stand for God's truth? Will you live for God's truth? Will you tolerate nothing but God's truth? Maybe I should add what they do. So help you God. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. It is our guide. It is the text. Lord, would you help us not just to read it, but to absorb it and to know it and call it into effect in our life. We need you, Lord Jesus. And this world needs you, the real Jesus. Lord, would you help us to stand true in your word, to make sure that people hear about and know and call on Jesus the Christ, God's only Son. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you, would you pray right now and ask God to give you the strength to stand no matter what? No matter what. Will you stand for the Lord your God? Will you stand for His Word? And right where you're seated today, right this moment, would you make a commitment to the Lord to say, Father, I will stand. And would you make a second commitment? God, I will continue to be trained in your word so that I can be a good soldier, a proper teacher, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, handling rightly the word of truth. So we train our children in Awanas. Will you do it as well?